All right, Kerry Crowley back here with you on the Giants pregame show, getting you set for the Giants and the Cardinals, coming to you live from Busch Stadium at 11:15 today Pacific time. And here to help us get prepared for this matchup, the great Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions, frequent guest here on The Leader. Mark, how are you today?
Hi, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. Jacob Junis gets the call for the Giants today, and I kind of want to start with him because he's been such an interesting story for San Francisco this season. I didn't see a whole lot in the underlying data with Kansas City that would have suggested that he might be a breakout starter guy this year for San Francisco, but that's what he's been thus far, and another tough task today facing the Cardinals yet again. What have you thought of his start to the season?
Yeah, I think that the reason that you and I didn't see anything in the underlying numbers for Jacob Junis is because kind of like we're here and Brian Bannister and Farhan are kind of up on another plane operating at a different level. The thing that happened is kind of similar to what happened in, like, I'm thinking of like Houston and Colin McHugh, maybe.
Yeah, like absolutely.
They were like, throw the curveball 100 times. You know, if you're going to throw 100 pitches, throw the curveball like 70 times instead of 40 or whatever. And that's what's happening with Junis right now, is that he throws the slider that's really tricky, and he throws it for strikes each of the three games, 64% or better. Nobody can hit it. He doesn't give up line drives. He's more likely to give up a pop-up than a line drive. The one thing that I thought was funny is, if you look at enough leaderboards and statistics and put things next to each other, eventually like you kind of run into something. So Jacob Junis' slider has this break on it, horizontal. The number is 15 inches. That's what the number is in the StatCast stats. And I was like, okay, then you look like one line below, and the next guy in the rankings for like biggest horizontal break is Tyler Rogers, which,
wow,
I thought was kind of funny because it's two completely different kind of things, right? Like Tyler Rogers throws at 70 and Jacob Junis throws at 80, but it has this same kind of sweep to it that makes him a very effective pitcher. They're both 15 is if you were going to say a lot, some or a little, 15 is a lot. 15 inches of break horizontally is a lot for both Tyler Rogers and especially for Jacob Junis.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to watch him this season because, you know, his ERA was never very good with the Kansas City Royals. The strikeout numbers were okay, but not like they've been in San Francisco thus far. So he's been one of the substitutes in this Giants rotation, getting the job done. This is a Giants team, Mark, that over the last week or so, after they reeled off that five-game losing streak, they've ripped off six consecutive wins. Bunch of substitutes in this lineup. Luis Gonzalez, he's come through. He's getting it done. It's kind of a theme right now across baseball and for this Giants organization, not just last year, but carrying over into this year.
Yeah, and you don't just have to start. You can kind of be part of Team B, or if you were talking hockey, like the second and third line guys.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, guys come off the bench. I think it was three guys came off the bench. They were 2-for-4 with two walks. The subs this season, when they come in the middle of the game, the subs are hitting .232. But, and this will get to probably our next topic, but they've drawn a ton of walks. And they had two yesterday. Their on-base percentage when they come in mid-game is .375, which,
wow,
especially now, is excellent. And it's only, you know, 75 plate appearances or whatever it is, but .375 is a lot better than, like, .300, right? So, yeah, once again, it's essentially a similar formula to last season. The walks, the 13 walks by the bench guys, that's the most walks by bench guys in MLB. They're getting it done with walks, go figure.
Yeah, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions joining us. We love his breakdowns and the analytics, the numbers behind what we see on the field. And Mark, you brought up a great point, and this is a subject that Marty, Bill, and I talked about earlier in the show. The value of the walk this year, is it higher because there's a deader ball and there's more value in putting the ball in play with singles and doubles? So walks, guys on base, you're going to score more runs. What do you make of the power of the walk this year?
Yeah, for the Giants, it seems to be pretty potent. I think... Yeah, you got it. Like, you're right. Because the ball's not traveling, and I saw another two or three balls between watching the Met game and the Giants-Cardinals game that I thought for sure were going to be gone, that were not gone last night. And the Giants right now, so of their 10, what you would call, I guess, like regulars, which is like the main eight plus Slater and maybe it's Gonzalez, they've got five guys where the on-base percentage shoots up by 100 points from their batting average. Ruff, Crawford, Belt, Bart, Slater. Yaz just misses that. So I feel like that's important. Like, they've gotten guys on base. That's allowed them to win games where they only have the, you know, 7 or 8 hits. Instead of the home run this year, it's the walks. They get extra guys on base. The other thing with the walks is, it's funny, it's like an NL West trend. The top 4 teams in walk rate this year for hitters are the Dodgers, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yep, exactly. It's like everyone in that division decided to kind of approach things the same way as everybody else.
No, what I saw last year, and I was really starting to track this on the beat in 2021, is chase rate outside the strike zone. The Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants led all season long. They just don't chase pitches. And so you bring up those players, 5 or more now with the Giants, and Yastrzemski could be 6 with on-base percentages nearly 100 points above their average. And that's just tremendous production, and it's so undervalued, but it really is important. Hey, speaking of numbers that that people should care about, last week I heard you and Marty talking a little bit about this. And look, I've always been a little bit more of a traditionalist when it comes to pitching stats. I value ERA and strikeouts a lot more than I value something like fielding independent pitching, where if a guy's FIP is low but his ERA is consistently high, I don't necessarily buy into that guy as, hey, he's going to be really good or he's gotten unlucky. Why should I care about FIP? Let's extend that conversation a little bit more.
All right. So I have a couple of different ways to go on this. I'll start with your thing. So the Giants have the best FIP in baseball this year. And the way that I used to always explain it to the former players that I worked with when I worked on the ESPN show Baseball Tonight was like, look, if we put two guys next to each other and we said strikeouts, walks, and home runs, and we said, you tell me who the better pitcher is, the major leaguer is always going to choose the guy with the best combination of strikeouts, walks, and home runs. They're not necessarily... Like, you could tell them afterwards that one guy was, a 4 or 5 ERA and the other guy was like a 3.5 and it shouldn't have been that way or whatever. But you're always going to pick the guys that can, like, essentially those are your control, the things that you can control. So I think that's, it's an imperfect kind of thing, but I do think that it does shed important light on performance. Like, for example, just for this year, the Giants are first in that stat. And the reason that the Giants have been able to hang in is because their pitchers don't walk guys and their pitchers don't give up home runs. And as a result, their FIP is particularly good this year. And I just, this is kind of funny. Here are your top five teams in batting average on balls in play allowed. We know that the Giants haven't necessarily played good defense this year. They've let up some hits maybe that they shouldn't. The top five teams are the Rockies, the Reds, the Giants, the Nationals, and the Phillies. Those are your teams that are at 300 or worse.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that the Giants have survived that, the pitchers, is because they don't walk guys, they don't allow home runs. The ERAs of those five teams, the Rockies 4.8, the Reds 6.3, the Nationals 4.8, the Phillies 4.1, the Giants 3.4. Because they don't walk guys and they don't allow home runs.
Gosh, I know the Reds are bad, Mark, but the 6-3 sounds like mythical to me. It is, that has got to be a historic number for the Cincinnati Reds. Hey, one of the things I love to do is go around baseball, look at some of the different interesting stories. And today, the Giants trade Mauricio Dubon to the Houston Astros for Michael Papirski, catcher and first baseman. So Dubon goes to a Houston team that is on an 11-game win streak right now. What have you made of their success, even though Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena battling some injuries? What is Dubon getting into with Dusty Baker and the Astros?
So they've been very, very good. And this is very convenient because I had put on the email that I sent to you, I want to talk about the Astros, and the trade happened, within the last hour or so. So it's good to be able to talk about this. The thing that the Astros have done this season that has been, I think, particularly impressive is that they've played really good D. They lost Carlos Correa, and they slotted in Jeremy Pena, this rookie shortstop, and he's been very, very good. Brantley has played well in left. Kyle Tucker has played well in right. Bregman has been decent at third. They have a lot of veteran guys who are either average or slightly above. Right now, they lead the majors in defensive runs saved. It's very early. And just, again, here we go. Their FIP is 3.44. but meaning that their strikeouts, walks, home runs suggest that their ERA should be about 3.4. Their defense has been so good, though, that their ERA is 2.7. So credit the Astros' defense for being very, very good and helping push them to this 11-game win streak. And I want to say this, too. Good defense doesn't necessarily mean, like, flashy plays, great plays, superstar kind of plays. Good defense can often just be getting the outs, like, and taking care of the routine stuff. And I think Houston has players that can particularly do that.
Well, how about that? Teams with good FIPs or teams that are on good win streaks right now. So the Astros getting it done, the Giants getting it done. Mark Simon always getting it done for us here on KNBR of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, thank you so much for your time today and look forward to next weekend.
You got it, Curtis.
All right. He is Mark Simon. So much more coming up next on this Giants pregame show as we get you set for the Giants and the Cardinals today at 11:15. Giants going for the series victory over the St. Louis Cardinals, which of course would mean the victory in the season series after they split two games apiece at Oracle Park last weekend. So close, so bunched up together in the schedule, but a good opportunity for this Giants team. Like I said earlier, Jacob Junis on the hill for San Francisco. Dakota Hudson goes for the St. Louis Cardinals. On the other side, Marty Lurie will be back with Walter Ikebeseta, my guy from behind the glass at KNBR, producer, big baseball head. Great stuff, as always, from Walter on the other side. So you're listening to KNBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.